But it's absolutely fabulous to see everyone this afternoon. There's Sonia back from the Philippines. We've been praying for you, Sonia, and we're so thrilled to see you again. It's nice to see Brenda with us. She's smiling. God's in control. He knows what he's doing. Just relax in his love. Just lean back and go with him. He knows. That's it. That's it. God knows what he's doing. And it says it's nice to see Dad back with us, so I can't see him at the minute, but he was there a minute or two ago. So, yeah, now you see him now as well. But praise God, it is lovely. Oh, he's coming through now. God is so good to us, isn't he? I want to just share a word this afternoon that if we'll take it on board, I don't want it to be in any way judgmental or critical. I just want to encourage us to live like God. I've headed the title is Living Like God. And if we'll take this on board, then we'll have a much easier time of developing and growing and using the situations that come against us to get stronger and stronger. And it does actually say at the end of this passage that if we adopt these principles, we will never fall. Now, I think that is an outrageous promise that God's given us. But I don't want to fall. I don't know about you. I want to be a success. And I'm not sort of pushing us into something that is unattainable. It is attainable in Christ. And I don't want us to feel judged if we don't reach it, because God knows that sometimes we are going to fail. And this is not like, if you don't do it this way, you'll never succeed. But it will make life a lot easier. So if you've got a pen and paper, there are seven attributes here that will help us tremendously, that it will be worth your while jotting down. I'm going from 2 Peter chapter 1. And first of all, I want to read verses 1 to 4. And I'll stop along the way. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, which will give us the fullness of what we need to grasp what God is saying. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the power in that word. And Father, I ask this afternoon that as I share these thoughts that you've given me, that, Lord, it will light up within our spirits. It will become a revelation to us that we shall adopt these attitudes. You will bring these to our remembrance when we're hit with a circumstance that is beyond us, but we know it's not beyond you. And, Father, even in the everyday things, that we'll learn to adopt these principles and to walk in them, that we might know victory after victory after victory, because you have called us to victory, Father, and that's what we want to attain to. And I thank you for your word, which shows us the way. And Father, I pray this afternoon it will be your words that will come forth and not mine. And that it will take root in our hearts and bring forth an abundance of seed and an abundant harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read from verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, that to those who have received, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves, in and through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Peter is saying there, he's speaking to us. Now, can you honestly believe that you have received the same precious faith that Peter had? I'm sure I've got the same precious faith that Peter had. God's given us all the same measure of faith, and it's up to us to develop that faith and to walk in that faith, that faith may become stronger and stronger. And so we're not disadvantaged any more than Peter was. Peter had the same faith that we have, and it's through the righteousness of God. We are as righteous as Peter was, as we have that same righteousness through Jesus. Verse 2, may God's grace, another word for God's grace is his favour, and also his divine ability. We have God's divine ability within us. we have his peace. And I love the description here that the Amplified gives about his peace. His peace is described as perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears, with not to be afraid of anything, never be afraid, it's the devil's weapon, and agitating passions and moral conflicts. You know, if you're living with God, we're not of two minds. Bish always preaches about when you live off the tree of good and knowledge, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're always in two minds. There's always this conflict in your mind. But when you live off the tree of life, which is what Peter is encouraging us to do, there is no conflict. There's only one way to go, God's way. And so that puts away the conflict. So all these blessings be multiplied to you in full, personal, precise and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It says personal. We can't experience this, you know, unless we know God personally. We need to know that personal relationship with Jesus and have that personal relationship. Walk with him closely, intimately. Let's know him in this personal way. And all these attributes will automatically flow into our lives. Praise God. Verse 3. For his divine power. And I looked up in the Hebrew Greek what this word power means. And the word is dunamis, which comes quite often in the Bible. And dunamis means powers. Miracles coming out of that mighty power of God, inherent in Christ, and which power was given to his witnesses and his ambassadors. Now, does that include you?
Yes.
Amen. So we have that dunamis power, that power of God in us. He gave it to the disciples, he's given it to us. It's no less powerful in us than it is in God. If we believe, if we receive it and we believe it, that power is as powerful as God himself. This power will bring about great works, it will bring about glorious works, it will bring about strange works. You know, the world is mystified when God's power is revealed. They can't explain it. They can't understand it. They can't talk it out or away. But they somehow just have to accept it. It's a strange power sometimes that God works through. His marvellous works. We've been singing about his marvellous works today. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He reigns supreme. He's in charge of all the earth. His terrifying works. You know, nature can be very terrifying, can't it, Sonia? We've seen that in the tsunami. The power of nature, the power, the force. But, you know, God created all of that. His marvellous, powerful, sometimes terrifying works. Terrifying to those who withstand God. You know, we've seen that in the Old Testament, you see some... Now, who was it who rebelled against Moses? I can't think of his name. Yeah, but the family that was swallowed up. Korah, yeah, you know, the whole family was swallowed up by the vengeful God, you know. We see his terrifying works, his powerful works. But we live in a day of grace. And God's love and grace towards us is awesome in power, but it's not destructive to us. Praise his wonderful name. We'll continue on in verse 3. This divine power, this dunamis, that he has bestowed upon us all things that are necessary to life and to godliness. We have everything through, by his power, we have everything that we need for life and for godliness. Now, how can we be any better equipped? Everything that life demands, every situation that faces us, God has given us the power to overcome and to walk through in victory. Amen. Am I blessed or am I not?
Yes.
Are you blessed or are you not? Amen. You have got all the power within you. We've taken of that body. That body, each portion has the power of God within it to supply every need that we shall ever want. The answer you have digested within you, and it will work out through your inner man, and it will work out into the spirit man will bring it out, and it will be brought forth when you need it. Continuing on in verse 3. Through the full and personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence. By His glory He called us. But He didn't just call us by His glory. He called us to His glory. He wants His glory to be manifest through us. He wants His glory to be manifest out there to those we come across. And you know, I want to succeed. I want to be a success. Not because I don't want any glory. The glory goes to the Lord. But I see so many hurting people. I see so many defeated people. I see so many discouraged people. So many hopeless people. You know, in your everyday lives, Louise, you must see no end of them in the hospital. People with no hope. People who we've prayed for many this afternoon that are down and really need our encouragement, need us to stand alongside them. We meet them in everyday life. Thank God that Patrick is responding positively to his situation. The teaching, the word of God has gone into him and he's putting that into practice. He is determined. God is coming through for him as a mighty conqueror. You know, we need to learn from these people. We have that same power. We have that same determination. We have God within us. And God has called us to His glory and His excellence. So praise God. This is something God wants for us. And He's given us keys to achieve it. By means of these. Now what are these? By means of these. If we look at the three verses that we've just read. The things that came out to me are His faith. We have His faith. We have His grace. We have His peace. His peace. We've sung about that today. His peace. We have His power. We have His glory. And above all, we have His promises. So we're fully equipped, Tracy, to succeed. We can't do it in our own strength, but we can do it in God's strength. Amen. He has equipped us. So by His faith, His grace, His peace, His power, His glory, He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises. I was looking up the word promise here in 2 Peter. The promise is a legal term. It's a legal undertaking to do or to give you something. And it's a word that's only ever used in relation to the promises of God. Now isn't that lovely? The English language only gives us one word, promises. But you know, this word that is used here is a legal term, and it's unique to the promises of God, that He will do what He has said He will do. Amen? God, you know, the world talks about legal documents, but they're only legal as far as a contract goes. We've been doing covenant, and covenant is written in blood. And these promises were written in blood by Jesus. And as truly as He shed His blood, that these promises might be ours, they are ours. And they can never be taken away from us. They can never be disannulled. They can never be destroyed. We can never be defeated if we will take the promises of God and let those promises work in our lives. But God, you know, there's a promise for every situation that you will face. And yet I would recommend, you know your weaknesses, you know the areas the devil is going to try and defeat you on. You need to be ready, and I said this last time I spoke, we need to be ready beforehand with the promises of God. Keep the promises of God in front of you, in the forefront. Keep the promises where you can read them daily. Stick them on your mirror. You know, if you're believing God for something and you're going to see it manifest, then type it out, write it out, stick it on the mirror when you clean your teeth, when you comb your hair, if you comb your hair, you know. But let's keep, God says, keep my word ever before you. And we don't need to do anything really more than that, because God's doing all the work. We need to just keep that word in our mind. And praise God, Dad blessed me the other day. I think it was on Monday when we went to see him. And he was talking about he'd had a physical problem and he did not want to go to the doctors with it. He did not want to take medication because he felt it was harmful to him more than it would be bring healing to his body. And he determined to focus on the word of God. And you know, that lump went because he meditated the word of God. He didn't keep looking at the lump every morning saying, this lump's getting bigger. And probably it was. He focused on what God said. God says, I'm healed. And he took the scriptures and he meditated those scriptures. And he focused those scriptures until it was manifest in his body. And he went back to the doctor and the doctor was amazed. The doctor could not understand it. But, you know, hey, this is God. Can we understand everything God does? We only know. We only need believe that what he says he'll do, he'll do.
Do you believe me first time when he saw it?
No. Yeah.
After he's finished with me about 20 minutes break, he said, let's have a look again.
Praise God.
Same colour.
Oh, man. No mark. You couldn't even see where it had been. It confounded the doctor. He had no explanation. We know the answer, don't we, Dad? God is faithful. You know, we need to just stick in there and focus on these victories, because they'll take us into even greater victory. I know this week on Thursday I started with horrible throat symptoms, but I meditated the word of God. And I can say today, the devil kept saying to me, oh, you're preaching on Sunday, this will be good, this will be interesting, you'll have no voice by Sunday. And I thought, I will, devil, I am going to preach, I'm going to declare the word of God. And praise God, yesterday afternoon, Helen came and we spent an hour and a half together, and I felt really ropey when she came. But you know, when she'd gone, as we were just sat relaxing and talking and having a cup of tea. Cup of tea does wonders. Helen drunk tea. That's amazing, that. But, you know, it just lifted from me. And I thank God that if we stick in with the word, these symptoms will back off. They will go. They have to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. So now that we've established that God's word and God's promises are yea and amen, and they will happen if we believe them, here's a few things that Peter encourages to add to our faith. Things that will cause our faith and cause us to always succeed. Attributes that will cause us to succeed. It's got these I would recommend we take as lifestyle. And if it isn't, don't feel condemned in any way. But let's make a quality decision today that we're going to adjust a few things if we need to get in line with God, that we may succeed again and again and again. The first attribute, well, I think the first attribute before we get into the rest of them, it's not enough. Well, the first thing we need to do, and it's an act of our will, and Geraldine was talking about it, decisions this afternoon. We choose what we should do, how we're going to react to things. But the first thing is diligence. This is not one of the attributes, but this is something you will need to succeed. We must be diligent. Philip knows what diligence is about. He's had to be very diligent these past 4 or 5 years, haven't you, to get to where God wants him to be. Jonathan's had to be diligent these past few weeks, and praise God, Jonathan had answered to prayer. He got the placement that he wants. On Monday you went for it, didn't you? Wednesday you went for it, and praise God, God opened the door for him for Tadcaster Breweries. We're not sure what God's doing, but we'll bow the knee, we'll submit. He knows what he's doing. So, you know, it's not always, he doesn't put you in the most godly place all the time, does he? In fact, we wouldn't need these skills if we.
Only being with Jonathan.
recently. What kind?
Holy beer
when he's done with it. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Bless it. Bless it, God. Bless them all. Amen. And, you know, you students who've been doing exams, diligence. Some require diligence, don't they, Luke? But for others, diligence has paid off. So we want diligence to succeed here. The first attribute, and in the Amplified, it says, for this very reason, we need to adding your diligence to the divine promises. So God's given us the promise, we need to be diligent in keeping our eyes on that promise. We also need to employ every effort in exercising our faith to develop good character. And it says virtue in the King James Version. It's an old word, that. But it actually means, virtue means good character. So that's the first attribute we need to develop, a good character. The literal meaning of virtue means as a force or energy of the Holy Spirit in salvation called glory. So this good character reflects the glory, and it energizes the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Wow, this good character. I want to be a person of good character. God wants us to be that. And you know, I was reminded of a little picture that a friend of ours painted, and it was the wording on it was, bad company corrupts good character. And for you youngsters, I'd say to you now, watch who you build relationships with. Relationships are very, very important. Those we build relationships with will influence us. And you youngsters, pray that God will give you godly, Christian, morally strong friends. And if you can't see them, don't be put off. God has them. God has good, strong Christian companions for you. And if you ask him, he will lead you to those people. He will connect you. Here's your first step of faith. Here's your first trust in God. God wants those things for you as much as you want them. So ask God to link you up with good, strong Christian people who will energize your faith and will develop your character, and together you can grow. It's very easy to go with the flow and get along with the easy crowd. But you know, that's not what God wants. That won't develop the character in you that God wants. They say birds of a feather flock together, and don't get together with the wrong flock. Get together with God's flock. Amen. God knows where those people are, even if you don't. He will bring them across your path if you trust him. The next thing, attribute that God wants us to develop, is spiritual understanding. And in the King James it says, develop knowledge. The literal meaning here is actually experiential knowledge. Now we're blessed in Harvest Fields because we've had some fabulous teaching. We really have. God has shown us so many truths and principles of his word. But it's not storing this up in our head. God's not talking about that. He's saying, you've learnt a lot. Now it's time to put all this into operation. It's time to live this knowledge, to experience this knowledge that you have got. And I thought of something that we've been taught about, covenant, and God wants us to put this covenant to become an experience. He wants us to put it into practice, to live as covenant people. It's no good just learning about it. We have to live as covenant people. God wants us to put into practice, you know, with our teaching about angels. When we find ourselves in a situation where we don't have the resources, well, the angels do. They're there at our disposal. We only need call on them to bring to pass what we need to happen. You know, Andrew's lost a cable and that he needs. So, you know, let's send out the looking angels. Looking angels, find that cable and bring it to us wherever it is in Jesus' name. It's not we're getting uptight and chucking everything out and stamping and kicking and having a fit because we won't find it. But the angels know where it is and they can put their finger on it and bring it to us. So, you know, we no need to get frustrated. We have lots of resources within the angels to go and to meet our needs. And God has given that to us. We only need charge them. They're waiting for our instructions. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are the heirs of salvation. That's me. They'll work for me. You know, we've learnt a lot about speaking in tongues. We went through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's put it into practice. If we're out of our depth and we don't have an answer, well, get speaking in tongues and God will show you what you need. It'll bring peace. It will bring in the resources that you need. You'll find the answer as you walk in. As you walk forward, God will open the door. As you pray in tongues and just let the Holy Spirit take up that situation. We've learnt that giving, God's, you know, the world's all about take, take, take. And God says, God's ways are completely opposite, aren't they, Joan? God says, give, 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 and I'll give back to you. And it's all about trusting God when you give to him. We see how the widow, she gave everything, didn't she? She gave a mite. It wasn't a lot, but it was absolutely everything she got. And Jesus said she'd given far more than all these who dropped maybe a pound or something, and it meant nothing to them. It didn't affect their finances whatsoever, but she gave her everything. And God wants us to give till it hurts and to trust him in that respect with our money, because when God's got your money, he's got you. You know that, don't you? Money is it causes wars, it causes more fractions and arguments than any other thing. It's the root of all evil. The love of it is the root of all evil. And you'll find that every evil situation will come back to money. God doesn't want us to be loving money. He wants it to be way down the pecking order. Amen. So, we need to put into practice what we've learned. We need to let that spiritual understanding become our experience and our lifestyle. The next one in the King James is temperance. And it's actually alert, discipline. Oh, ouch! Discipline. I do like being disciplined, actually. I'm quite a disciplined person. But even I have times when I'm sick of being disciplined, I'm sick of having to do this and don't want to. Sometimes the body rebels, doesn't it, Christine? It says, I don't want to do my exercises. All the time. And actually, the literal meaning of this alert discipline is overcoming the body. Our body can be a great hindrance to us, can't it? Especially when we're not feeling 100%. It's the most wonderful thing, you think, don't you, Ellen, sometimes? Let's just pull the covers over me and hide in this bed and just let the world go by. I don't want to face what's happening today. I don't want to go. And the body. You know, in the morning, you need to be up early. And I still haven't found a better time for reading the Word of God than first thing in the morning. But I still haven't found a harder time to read the Word of God than first thing in the morning. Because this body is so bone idle. It does not like to be got up and got going, does it, Jonathan? We leave it till the last minute, dive in that car, blast it to work, and you know, everybody, get out my way, I'm late. But we need this discipline in our bodies, this temperance. And it says alert discipline. This must be an area that is of key importance, because I think Peter realizes this old body will be sluggish, is prone to sluggishness more than anything. Let's have a look at Proverbs 24, verse 30 and down to 34. I went by the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered its face, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I beheld and considered it well. I looked and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as a robber, and your want as an armed man. The results of being undisciplined and lazy will surely rob us of the good things that God has for us. So Peter encourages us to be alert, to make sure that we are disciplined. And it's good, I think, to get into some sort of routine, especially with regard to reading the Word. Let's give God space. Let's get close to Him. Let's discipline this body. Do you remember Jerry Seville? He used to, you know, your body, when you wake up, your body will say, you can pray in bed, and I'll guarantee it's not more than 60 seconds and you sleep again. Or Jerry Seville, he decided he would get out of bed, but he'd go and lay on the bed in the spare room. So when he laid on the bed in the spare room, what happened? 2 minutes and he was asleep again. And so he really had to beat his body, and in the end he decided the only place that he could stay awake was stood on the edge of the bath. And he was hanging on the edge of the bath with his Bible in one hand and holding on for dear life on the other, because at least his body was going to stay awake. He was going to discipline his body by making it perch on the edge of the bath. So, you know, I think sometimes we have to use desperate measures. So whatever it takes, I would encourage us, let's be disciplined, and let's get the Word of God into us as before we start the day, because it'll stand us in good stead. It'll take us through in victory. Peter says this because it's for our good. We need to be disciplined, in not just physically, but it is actually relating to the physical body here. The next one is steadfastness, and the description I've got is passionate patience. Ooh. Passionately patient. Let's be passionate about patience. That's how important it is for the power of God to work and us to succeed. You know, when you've lost your patience, you've lost your argument. I know that. When I used to deal with customers, if I lost my rag, they'd won. And that's even more annoying. It just winds you up even more. And God does not want us to be impatient people. He wants us to be passionate about remaining patient. And I was reading, you know, we've been studying in the recent covenants, Naomi. The literal meaning here in this word passionate patience is as relating to patience with people. I think people can wind us up more than anything. So I think there's different things wind us up, isn't there? Andrew's got loads of patience with equipment and spanners and engines and things like that, but because I don't understand them, that's not my patient area. We're all different, aren't we? We are different things wind us up, but this is in relation to people. And it says here that Naomi means pleasant. agreeable, delightful, splendor, grace, and beauty. I think that's interesting. Naomi, she was a person that her name portrayed all these attributes, pleasantness. That's what God wants us to be, displaying his pleasantness, his love, his patience with people. I think that if when I look at me, impatience comes out of frustration. I can't do something. That I find very... I get impatient. When you feel trapped, you can feel impatient. You flare up because you can't see a way through this. You don't have the resources within you to get through this situation. It's beyond you. You're unable. You have an inability to change what's happening. It can cause frustration. But you know, we've no need to feel frustrated about anything because we have God's ability, and in his ability, we can draw through the promises of God. We can draw his ability into the situation. And we can relax because whatever situation we find ourselves in, we know that God has allowed it. He has the answer to it, and it has to pass him first before it gets to us. It's no surprise to him. He has made provision for it. So instead of raising the roof and going off at a tangent, we need to get into the habit of stopping ourselves or asking the Holy Spirit to stop us when we get to that point, because it's really only habit, you know. We get into the habit of always reacting like this. We need to stop those habits, and sometimes I believe they are beyond us, but the Holy Spirit can check us and stop us at that point. But we need to make a decision. We don't want to react like that anymore. We want to be patient people. We want to be tolerant. And we want to lock into God's ability when we get to that point and rest and throw ourselves back on him and stand on the word of God, knowing that he has the answer and he will work it. Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. In the literal meaning of this passionate patience, it says it's a patience that doesn't surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. Now, I can honestly say that none of us are going to be exempt from trial, are we? And God understands that, and he's given us the ability to have the patience to withstand circumstances and not to succumb under trial. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says, "In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith..." And this faith is leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom and his goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. The promises don't always come easily. If you read, Abraham had to wait a long time. He had to wait 20 odd years before he saw his promise fulfilled. And there is often a time lag in these promises being fulfilled. But there's one thing for sure: if we don't let go, God won't. He will not fail you. If you hang on to that promise, he will bring it to pass. But there's going to be a process for that promise to be fulfilled, and you'll learn a lot through that process. Praise God. Let's have a look at Hebrews 10 and verse 36. This is lovely. "For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised." Isn't that lovely? He'll take you through a process, and at the end of it, you'll carry away the promise in its fulfillment, in its entirety. God will come through. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin which so easily and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. You know, there's that great cloud of witnesses in heaven looking down on us, and they overcame, they endured, they persevered under trial, and they have received their reward. And so they're encouraging us. They say, come on, come on, God's in this, God will work for you, you'll do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, we can do it. Amen. Praise God. We can remain patient. James. Ken read some of James this afternoon to start off. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. You know, these trials, you might think, are not working, but they do. They make us patient. In the end, we eventually lay down and say, I'm not achieving anything by getting irritable. This is not getting me anywhere. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect, you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing. God's making us perfect. And by these trials, he's perfecting our soul, isn't he? He's perfecting this outer man. The inner man, too, needs to go through these. And it's all necessary that we might attain the promises. And let's have a look at James 1 and verse 12. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and being approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. We sang this afternoon, I want to be out of my depth in your love. You know, that's where God wants us to, out of our ability into his. And his love and the strength of his love will come through in these trials, and we'll know him in a way that we've never known him before. Christine's beginning, she's experiencing this security, aren't you? And this love and this comfort and this strength that God, feeling those strong arms around her, knowing that he's there and he's supporting her and holding her up. She's out of her depth, but not out of God's depth. She's only into his love. Amen. The next attribute is godliness. And that's described as reverent wonder. It's good to reflect. When you start the Lord's Prayer, we start with thinking about God and how powerful he is and how magnificent he is, and it gets everything else into perspective. And we were sang today about the Lord reigns, about his creation, the beauty, the magnitude of God. And Peter wants us to develop a devotion and a worship to God, because then that gets things in perspective. When you see his might, his power, his majesty, his glory, his awesomeness, then what are we worrying about? What are we getting upset about? He's got everything under control. He'll bring us in. We'll be at the right place at the right time. He'll bring the right people across our path. We'll meet them at the right point. He's got everything planned. Nothing takes him by surprise. Before the foundation of the world, he planned our days. He's planned us for success. I want to be successful. I want to submit to God's plans. I don't want to give myself a tough time. I don't want to get stressed out. I don't want to end up with high blood pressure. I want to try and stay in God's plan, calm. And I'm not saying I've achieved it, I haven't. But as the more I read, the more I see it's possible for us to go for those goals, to achieve those goals, to live where God wants us to live. Peter would not tell us to do these things if it were not possible to do it. So, you know, God wants us to stay at peace and patient, because if we wind our body up, it stresses our body and it will come out physically in some shape or form. And we don't want that to happen. We want to stay at peace so we do our bodies good. Amen. The next one is brotherly kindness, described as warm friendliness. God wants us to be warm and friendly. And the sense of the literal meaning is love of Christians one to another out of common spiritual life. It's good to love our brothers and sisters, those that we have something in common with, but we also need to love the outsiders too. But the sense here is living in harmony and warm friendliness with our brothers. It's sad to say, you know, but the church has a reputation for shooting its wounded. And that's not something God wants to do. You know, we must not be intolerant alongside these people, to take these people into the promises of God and show them how they too can overcome and get to a higher level. God doesn't want us to be judgmental of one another. He wants us to be prayerful and to be encouraging one to the other. And the last attribute is charity, and it's described as generous love. And the literal meaning here is agape love. Isn't that lovely? God's agape love. He gave us that love. And it's shown, not necessarily by doing what the person loved desires, but by the one who loves deems to be necessary. And the scriptural reference there, which everyone will know, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. So it wasn't actually what we would have asked for, but God gave what we needed. And you might be in a situation where you haven't got what you asked for, but God will give you what you need at that point. And when you've got through that, there'll be another point and you'll have all the resources that you need, step by step by step. He'll take you through in peace and in victory. His agape love will always give us what we need. Praise his name. And it says, if we look then at 2 Peter 1:8-10, it says, "For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind. You are spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to you, and has become oblivious of the fact that you were cleansed from your old sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall." We can keep these attributes at the forefront of our mind. If we can develop these attributes, good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, then we shall never stumble or fall. That's a big promise, but these are the keys to attaining this steadfast love, this steadfastness in God. "Thus there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." It's interesting to know that there are 7 attributes. That's not by accident, is it? 7, the number of divine perfection. These 7 attributes will take us into God's perfection. You know, Naomi went into bitterness, but God was still faithful to her. And he brought her to where she needed to be. And she did get her reward. And I'm not saying, you know, if we fail, that we won't get our reward. Far from it. God will always make a way where there is no way to bring us through into victory. But you know, we'll have a much easier time of it if we adopt God's principles. If we take on board the teaching that Peter gives us, we shall come through far easier, we'll fall less often, and we shall become stronger, and it will add to our faith, not take away. Failure doesn't mean the end, it's the end. But it's far less stressful to do it God's way than to do it our way. So I just want to finish by reading from the Message. And it's the same passage, but it sums it up so concisely in four paragraphs, and they're not very long. So just close your eyes and listen to this. This sums up all that we've said. I, Simon Peter, am a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as is ours. All due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you've turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. You're oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off, do it now. Do this and you'll have your life on a firm footing. The streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So let's make a decision, a quality decision. Let's not get into old habits and lifestyles, the corruption that's in the world's way of reacting to situations and trials. Let's take Peter's advice. Let's put these disciplines into practice and let's make life much easier for ourselves, and let's go through these knowing that God is in control. Amen. Let's go.